We're talking about the Shmon Esrei. We mentioned, let's just review, that the Shmon Esrei is divided up into three parts. Part number one is called Shevach, where we thank Hashem, we praise Him, and that's called three brachos that make up one unit: Avos, Gvuros, and Kedushas Hashem. And then we move on to the middle part of Shmon Esrei, which is made up of 13 bakashot, and that's called bakasha. And then we finally get to the last three brachot, which are called hodoyah, which we thank Hashem. So we have three at the beginning, three at the end, and 13 in the middle. Total is 19. Originally it was 18, then they added one, it became 19. So we discussed the first bracha, which in a certain sense we said was the most important bracha, and that's the bracha of Magen Avraham. And in that bracha, we ask Hashem to protect Avram in us. Each one of us has a little bit of Avram in him. And we ask Hashem, Magen, to continue to protect, just like you protected Avram when you allowed the angels to go down and cool off the furnace. You remember when he was thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh? So too, we ask Hashem to protect Avram that's within us. Then we go on to the second bracha, which is called Gvuros, and that's all about Tchiyas HaMesim, God's power by resurrecting the dead. And that, we say, gives us a certain faith and an ability to face death, that there's a life beyond this life that's even greater than that life. You remember the mashal we gave of two twins that are in their mother's womb, and the first one leaves, and the second one says, oh no, he's gone, right? But in truth, what the remaining twin doesn't realize is that the twin that was born, that emerged to the world, came into a greater world. Not just this cramped world within the mother's womb, but a greater world where you could see colors, you could breathe air. And that's Tchiyas HaMesim. We think that Tchiyas HaMesim, when a person dies, that's tragic, and that's the end, kaput, finito. But really, there's a greater world beyond that, the eternal world. So that's Mechaya HaMesim. Now we get to the third bracha of the first unit of three brachos, and that's called Kiddushas Hashem, the sanctity of the name of God. And here we declare how great and how sanctified is the name of God. And this is the bracha into which we will integrate Kiddusha. Now there are different traditions about Kiddusha. In the Sephardic tradition, it's more of Na'aritzcha. In an Ashkenazic tradition, it's Nekadesh. And I think a lot of people make a big mistake. They think that Kedusha really starts with the word Nekadesh. And that's not true. Nekadesh is a calling of the Shliach Tzibur to the Tzibur, to tell them that we will now engage in Kedusha. So Nekadesh means let us now initiate or begin Kedusha. And therefore, the words Nekadesh Shimcha B'Olam Hazeh, etc., should be recited by the Shliach Tzibur. Our tradition is that we all recite Nekadesh Shimcha, but that's not really the way it was. Now, how does man, who's finite, have the ability to sanctify the name of God? Really, only the angels up in heaven could do so. But Nekadesh Shimcha Ba'olam means that we down here will imitate the angels, and just like the angels sanctify God up in Shmei Marom, in the highest sphere, so too we imitate them, and we will recite Kedusha. Now, this process of Kedusha really repeats itself. It's not just once, and not just twice, but three times within the context of Shachris. The first time is actually in Birchas Kriyat Shema. And in Birchas Kriyat Shema, we actually recite Kadosh, 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 as well as Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. And there also, we talk about the Malachim, Kulam Kedoshim, Kulam Giborim, right? And they're all greats and so forth. And the reason why we invoke the Malachim is because we don't have the ability to recite Kiddush unless we're imitating the angels on high. Now, I noticed the other day that there's a difference between what we call Nusach Ashkenaz, the way we recite Kiddusha, and what's called Nusach Sfarad. In Nusach Sfarad, when we describe the angels, we describe them, amongst other things, as Kulam Kiddoshim. But in Nusach Ashkenaz, we leave out Kulam Kiddoshim. We have Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Brurim, Kulam Giborim, but we don't mention anything about Kiddoshim. And it could be that the concept of Kiddoshim does not apply to the Malachi Asharis. The Malachi Asharis don't have the challenges that we face. They're not physical bodies. We face the challenge of the Eitzahara, the evil inclination, because we're in physical bodies. And therefore we can achieve the level of Kiddush. I don't know if you can describe the Malachim as Kiddoshim. In any event, so we start with Kadosh, 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 and we describe Hashem as Kadosh, and we repeat it three times. So what are these three Kiddushos, this tripod, you know, this triple header over here? And what it means is, apparently, there are three levels of reality. There's the lowest level of reality, which is called Geshem, which means it's purely physical. And then we get to a second level, a higher level, which is called Koach HaGeshem. That's the abstract power that's in Geshem. And finally, we get to the third level of something that's purely spiritual. It's not connected at all to Geshem. It's not in any way connected to the body. And
so what does Hashem have to do with Kodesh, Kadosh?
Oh, so what we're saying is that God is Kadosh, 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 meaning that He has a greater sanctity than the Guf. He has a greater sanctity than the Koach of the Guf. And He even has a greater sanctity than something which is called pure spiritual, which is like seichel, logic or thought process, which has nothing to do with a koach haguf. And God's kedusha supersedes, it goes beyond even these three levels. So let me read to you, I have in front of me one of the commentators on Tefillah, the Eitz Yosef, and he writes, Kadosh, 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 Pirish Gimel Kedushot Elu, Ki Hashem Yitbarach Nivdal Legamri. God is completely separated and above all three levels of Kedusha, all three Madregos. Ha'echad, the first level is Geshem, or what we call Gashmiyut, physicality. God is not Geshem, He's not physical. Sheni is Koch B'Geshem, is the force and the life force that goes into Geshem. And God is above that. And then Hashlishi, Kishe'en Chibur Klala Geshem, is some sort of abstract spirituality that's not connected to Geshem and lives and exists on its own. The Eluheim Gimel Madregos, and these are the three levels. There's Guf, which is pure Geshem. There's Nefesh, which is the soul of the Guf. And then there's Seichel, which is the abstract knowledge or thought process that, although it's a little bit connected to the guf, because it's the physical body that's thinking these thoughts, so in reality, in Metzius, there is a connection, but it's above guf. And lefichach, therefore, omrim kadosh, 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 kiddush rishon, God is holy, meaning eino geshem, He's not limited, and He's not physical. Number two, kadosh hasheni she'eino koach, shel nefesh. Bageshem, Baguf. And finally, Kadosh HaShlishi, the third level is that just like you have Seichel, you have thought, which we said is connected to the body, Aval Hashem Yisparach Nivdal Legamri. His thought process is completely cut off from any physicality whatsoever. And this presentation which I quote to you, the name of the Eitz Yosef, is really in the Maral Miprag. Have you ever heard of the Maral Miprag?
No.
There was a great leader of Israel in the city of Prague. Prague is in what's called today Czechoslovakia. And it's so interesting because my wife and I, Ima and I were in... we're in Prague for just one Shabbos, and it's so interesting that even for the Goyim, when they sell like souvenirs and so forth, it's all about the Maral Miprag. These are Goyim. The Maral lived 500 years ago. And why did the Goyim make such a big deal about the Maral? Because the Maral apparently created something called the Golem. This was the Maral's golem. And the golem was some sort of a, I guess you'd say, a human robot. And it was a very powerful kind of, and the Goyim were very afraid of it. They have a tradition that if you, the Maral synagogue is still standing in Prague, and if you go up to the attic, you're going to put your life into danger because you can expose yourself to the golem. So if you go to a tourist shop in Prague, you'll see they sell effigies and, you know, images of the golem of the Maral Miprag. They also have a great statue at the entrance into the city center of the Maral Miprag. So it's very interesting that there's such a giant...
Very religious people?
All people. You know, every person who lives in Prague, you know, has a certain... shall I say, a mystical connection to the Maral Miprag. So he's the one who writes about the three kadoshes over here. Now then, after saying kadosh, 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 we go on to say that mole kol ha'oretz kvodo, which means that the glory of God is down here on this earth, which is fascinating when you think about it. You know, God is above physicality, he's above this world, but yet he somehow projects a kavod, a glory, and that glory is down here on this earth. We can actually encounter, or shall we say, come in contact with the kvod Hashem down in this earth. And that's the whole purpose of Torah. Torah is given us in order to bring the Kvod Shamayim, the heavenly glory, down to this earth. Then we get to the next statement, which is Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. Now we realize that we can't really see God, we can't, so to speak, connect with God in this world, but God is great and he's blessed in Mimkomo. Mimkomo means up in his higher spheres. Up there where the Kiseh HaKavod is. That's where God's glory is much more tangible, but we don't have the ability as mortal man to reach all the way up to the Kiseh HaKavod. Now, I mentioned to you before the Eitz Yosef and how he breaks down the three Kadoshes to three different Madregos or levels of Kedusha. I also want to mention to you another commentary, which is called Iyun Tefillah. And I have it all in this one book. It's an anthology of different commentaries on the Siddur. And the Iyun Tefillah writes that Kara Zeh El Zeh V'Omar means that the Malachim turn one to the other and ask for permission, which means that they all recite Kedusha in unison. And why is that so important? Because we don't want one malach to start before the other. We don't want to make it into a competition. And each malach is going to try to be the first one to sing the praises of Hashem and describe his Kedusha. We want all the malachim simultaneously at one time to burst out in this song of Kedusha. And then he goes on to say that there are many who will not begin to recite Kedusha with Nekadesh. They'll start with Kara Zel Zevi Omar. And that has to do with not, we have a prohibition that we don't start in the middle of a pasuk, and the pasuk actually starts with the words, Karazel Zevi Omar. He says that's a mistake, and his opinion is that we should start with Nekadesh, and he says that Shogim Heim, they're making a shkaga, a mistake, Lefi Zeh, Heim Biatzmav Eina Makachim Es Hashem. All they're saying is Vikarzel Zevi Omar, meaning they're just sort of testifying that the Malachim up in Shemayim are singing the praises of God, but they're not, that's just a Sipur Dvarim. They're telling us a story about the Malachim. But we have to get involved personally by imitating the Malachim. That's our Chiyuv of Kedusha, to recite and declare the holiness of God. So therefore we should start not from Vikarzel Zevi Omar, which is just a Sipur Dvarim. We should start from the beginning of Nekadesh, which means everybody should get to attention, and we should all in unison begin with Kedusha and being Mekadesh Hashem. And if you'll say, well, how can we start in the middle of a Pasuk? So he says the answer is that Anshei Knesset Gdola in Kriyat Shema, we said in the Birchas Kriyat Shema, which is called the Kedushas Yotzer, they begin in the middle of a Pasuk. And also Baruch Kvod Hashem Imkomo is the middle of a pasuk in Yechezkel Perek Gimel. So apparently, this prohibition that you're not allowed to begin in the middle of a pasuk only applies when you're quoting a verse in Tanakh. You're required to quote the verse from beginning to end in its complete entirety. But if you're only injecting it into the Tefillah, then you're allowed to stop. You're allowed to start in the middle of a pasuk. And finally, Kedusha culminates with the following verse, Yimloch Hashem li'olam el'hayich tzion l'dor v'dor haluyah. And at this point, what we're saying is a tefillah, we're asking that it should be the will of God, that He should reign as the sovereign ruler, the Melech al kol ha'olam, and the people will call God el'hayich tzion, the God of Tzion. Tzion is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. I never understood why they give the name Tzion to a girl, because if Tzion is a reference to Tziona makes more sense, but the name Tzion is a bit strange, unless maybe the name Tzion refers to Yerushalayim. Sometimes in Tanakh, Yerushalayim is called Tzion, and Yerushalayim is feminine, so that's why you could give the name Tzion. In the Sephardic world, it's completely unacceptable to give the name Tzion to a girl. Tzion is to a man. In the Ashkenazic world, they'll give the name Tzion sometimes to a girl. In any event, there's a third interpretation that maybe Tzion is not a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, nor to Yerushalayim, but rather to Yisrael, to the people of Israel. And that's based on a pasuk in Tanakh that says, Lomar l'tzion ami ato, tell Tzion, you are my nation. God addresses Tzion, the nation of Israel. But what I find very fascinating about this whole idea of Kedusha and reciting Kedusha is that there's a certain almost antithesis and thesis. You know, we vacillate back and forth. On one hand, we say, Maloch al Eretz Kvodo, God is down on this earth. And on the other hand, we say, Baruch Kvod Hashem Imkomo, that God is up there in the higher worlds. And somehow, Kedusha reflects both these, what we consider antithetical elements about where is God and how close to we are, you know, down in this earth, how close can we get to God, to the Almighty. And maybe the Yimloch Hashem Li'olam, the prayer that concludes Kedusha, is really a prayer that the two should somehow integrate, and we'll be able to sense the Kvod Hashem Imkomo even down on this earth, and seeing and encountering that glory of God, we'll be able to declare, God, you are the King, and you are the sovereign King over the entire universe. And then the Chazon, the Shatz, concludes by saying, L'dor v'dor nagid godlecha, in every generation we will speak of your greatness, God. Ulenetzach nitzachim, and for all eternity, Kedushascha nakdish, we will sanctify your name. And now to complete the body, the unit of three brachos of Shevach, we say v'shivchacha Elokeinu mipinu lo yamush li'olam va'ed. For all of eternity, forever and ever, we will not stop, we will never cease describing and singing about your shvach, about your praise. Kikel melech gadol v'kadosh ata, you are the great king and the holy one. And we end with Baruch Atah Hashem HaKel HaKadosh. Now that bracha concludes the Shevach section. It's recited both by the Yochid, the individual, in his private Shmon Esrei, and of course by the Shliach Tzibur in his public recitation of the Shmon Esrei. And this Chasima only changes during 10 days out of the year. Can you guess which 10 days out of the year we will replace the word HaKel with a different word? Any guess?
Sorry, what?
Can you guess on which 10 days of the year we will replace the Hakel HaKadosh at the end of Shevach, at the end of Kedusha, with a different word instead of Hakel?
Yes, I remember. I think it's either Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah.
Or... So what are the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur called? And how many days are there?
10 days.
10 days, right. Because Rosh Hashanah is the first of Tishrei. Yom Kippur is the 10th of Tishrei. And that period of time is called Aseret Yemei HaTshuvah. And during those 10 days, instead of reciting Baruch Atah Hashem HaKel HaKadosh, we will recite Baruch Atah Hashem HaMelech HaKadosh. Because this hope and this prayer that God will become the Melech, and everybody on the face of the entire universe will accept God as the king, that has a special relationship to these 10 days. These are the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur that are the days of Malchus, of the kingship of Hashem. Okay, now we're ready to start Bakasha, okay? And Bakasha, as we said before, is made up of 13 prayers or petitions, the first of which is called Das, which means, Ata choni lanam das, you God grant wisdom and knowledge, umlamed lenosh bina, and you teach us something called bina, which is wisdom, and we end up with, chanenu mitcha dea bina vaskel bruch ata Hashem chonena das. Now notice that there is a basic difference between our nusach, which is Ashkenaz, and what's called Nusach Sfarad or Nusach Ari. In our Nusach, we mention Das, we mention Bina, and we mention something called Haskel. And we're asking Hashem for these three elements, Dea, Bina, and Haskel. In the Nusach of the Arizal, we ask for Chachma, Bina, and Das, which is otherwise known as Chabad. Chachma, Bina, and Das.
Is that what Chabad stands for?
That's what Chabad stands for. Chachma, Bina, and Das. Now, Chachma is the first level of knowledge, and Bina is a much more sophisticated and more developed level of knowledge until we get to the highest level, which is called Das. In the Nusach Ashkenaz that I'm familiar with, I mean, my father used to daven Nusach Ari, but he never sort of imposed that on us. So I was brought up in the yeshivot where we daven Nusach Ashkenaz. So we recite Dea, Bina, and Haskel, which seems to imply that Das is the first level, not like in Chabad, where Das is the highest level. Das here is the basic level, the foundation. And then we get to the higher level, which is called Bina, until we get to the highest level, which is called Haskel. Now, this word Haskel appears in Rashi at the beginning of Bereishis. When God creates man, it says, B'tselem Elokim bara osam, nasa adam b'tzalmenu kidmusenu. And it means that God creates man in the image of God. Rashi says that the image of God includes Haskel. Now, the word Haskel appears in the Torah with regard to Yaakov. Do you remember when Yaakov gave the blessings to his two grandsons, Ephraim and Menashe, and Yosef placed Ephraim, well, let's put it the other way, he placed Menashe, who's the older brother, on the right side, so that Yaakov's right hand would be on the head of Menashe, and Ephraim, who's the younger brother, was placed by Yosef on the left side, and the left is always indicative of the secondary bracha. Now, this is, I'm not trying to insult any lefties, but the right hand is always considered the stronger hand. And Yosef wanted...
Everyone in our family fights over a seat just next to Abba on the right.
On the right side, right. Everybody wants to be on the right side. So Menashe wants to be on the right side, and Yosef wants to place Menashe as the Bechor, the older one, on the right side. But Yaakov Avinu wants to give the more important bracha to Ephraim. So what does Yaakov do? Do you remember what Yaakov does in order to give... What?
He switches his hands.
Correct. He crosses his hands. And the Torah says, Haskel. Haskel means that Yaakov was in bed. He was very old. He was about to die. He couldn't get up and move around in such a way that he would put Menashe on the left and Ephraim on the right. So he used Haskel. And by using Haskel and switching around his hands, he was able to put his right hand on top of the head of Ephraim, which is exactly what he wanted to achieve. So the word Haskel is a certain kind of what I call technological or mechanical intelligence. And it means that you have a goal and you have to use your intelligence in order to achieve that goal. And that's what technology is all about. That's called Haskel. And in truth, if you look at the history of contemporary man, modern man, Haskel represents America, the United States of America, because they are great at technology. In fact, there's one university in America, which is probably, in technology, the greatest university on the face of the globe. It's called MIT, if you've ever heard of it, Manhattan Institute of Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. And above me here, we have two people who graduated that college. That's Reva and Alan Dubin. They are both graduates of MIT. MIT is really a very, very difficult, challenging, and a prestigious university to go to. And a lot of technology comes out of MIT. And that's called Haskel. So in our tefillah, we start with asking for Deya. And Deya means the initial burst of energy, of intelligence. And then we get up to Bina. Bina means the second level, on a more challenging level, to take the abstract knowledge and begin to see how you can apply it, how you can actually implement that knowledge, that abstract knowledge. And that's the abstract knowledge that becomes Bina. Now we bring it to the next level of Haskel, which is technology. And
why is Haskel called technology?
What I mean by technology is that you have a goal, right? Yaakov Avinu has a goal. He wants to make sure that Ephraim gets the main primary bracha on the right hand. And technology means find a technique, find a method in which you can achieve your goal. And that's the greatness of modern man, that modern man is an expert in Haskel. For example, we want to land a man on the moon, right? So Haskel means that we develop the technology. Well, let's say, for example, we want to be able to show someone a room as if he was inside the room, three-dimensional, without requiring that person to enter into a room. And what we do is we develop a technology on the computer where you can take a virtual tour of a room. You could actually walk around a room even though you're not in the room. You may be on the other side of the earth. So, for example, recently I received on the internet a link to a virtual tour of an art gallery. And it was really cool because on the screen, they took you from one side of the art gallery to the other. And they showed you the different pieces of art that are being presented. And today you can take a virtual tour of a museum online. You could take a virtual tour of a synagogue online. I mean, this is all technology. So that when we talk about, for example, medical technology, like my great son Baruch, right? So in medical technology, what we develop is ways in which Dr. Baruch could be here and he could see the inside of the kishkes of the body of somebody who's way far away, because they're able to put something inside the person's body, and from a distance, the physician is able to watch this thing that's inside the body. And he could give all sorts of kind of diagnosis, or even perhaps suggest a possible therapeutic cure. This is all technology. Now we're faced with the challenge of finding the technology to defeat this virus, which is called COVID-19. So that's the greatness of modern man, which is Haskel. All that is according to our Nusach. But now I mentioned to you Chabad. And Chabad starts with Chachma, Bina, and Das. So let me try to give you an example of what I think is Chachma. Have you ever had an occasion of trying to solve a mathematical problem? So let's say you're taking a math class and they give you a problem, they want you to solve the problem. And you're looking at the numbers, or if it's in geometry, at the lines, and the shapes and the forms, and you're thinking, and nothing's coming through. Satum. It's completely closed. All of a sudden, like a flash of light, you see a way to go. You have no clue how you can actually solve the problem, but you already sense that you have a direction to go in. It's like a person who's stuck in a forest at night. It's pitch black, and all of a sudden they see a little shining light at the end, or a ship that sees a lighthouse. They don't know exactly where it is and how to get to it, but that's the flash of light. That's called Chachma. So Chachma means that I'm really excited because I now know that I can solve the problem. I still don't know how I'm going to solve the problem, but I see that there's light at the end of the tunnel. After Chachma, we have something called Bina. Bina is the beginning of fleshing it out. Now I begin to create a method or a plan in order to reach that light. I begin to test out my possibilities. Should I go down this way and apply this theorem? Should I go down that way? That's called Bina. So Bina is the next stage beyond Chachma. And finally, we get to the highest level, which is called Das. And that's when we arrive at an absolute definite conclusion that if we go down this path, we will reach our goal, we will solve our problem, and we'll be in the place of light. That's called Das. So we start with Chachma, we go up to Bina, and then from Bina we get to Das. We're asking God in this prayer, which is the first of the 13 middle brachos of supplications, to give us all three. To bestow on us Chachma, Bina, and Das. Now there's a pasuk that says Chachma me'ayin timotze, meaning Chachma comes from nowhere. Bina comes by a logical step-by-step conclusion. In other words, I start with one theorem or one principle, and then I develop out from that a second principle. There's a logical sequence. Chachma, we have no idea where it came from. And the reason why we don't know where it came from is because it came from nowhere. It's something that's just planted in our brain. It's Chachma. And at this point, it's just like a light at the end of the tunnel. We can celebrate and we could really be happy about Chachma, but we don't know where it came from. That's called Me'ayin Timotze. That's why when we talk about God's creation, we say that God created with Chachma. Chachma means that flash of light, you know, that's totally abstract. And then we end this bracha with Baruch Atah Hashem Chonein Adas. Now, let's try to understand. What are we asking for? Are we asking for a 200 IQ, you know, that we should get all A's on our exams, that we should, you know, be the valedictorian of the class? Are we asking for human knowledge? So 500 years ago, there was somebody by the name of Rav Mordechai Yaffa, and he wrote a Shulchan Aruch of his own, which is called the Levush. And every section has a different name, but they always start with the word Levush. And he writes that he believes that what we're asking for is not human knowledge, scientific knowledge, mathematical knowledge. We're asking for something more spiritual, more divine. And he bases himself on the fact that there's another paragraph that we inject into the first bracha once a week. And now I'm going to ask you, as a quiz question, if you could figure out which paragraph do we add to this first blessing once a week on Saturday night, on Motzi Shabbos. And that's called Havdalah. Yeah. Now, there are two Havdalahs. There's one Havdalah which we recite at home over a cup of wine and a fire. There's another Havdalah which we recite in the tefillah itself. And that Havdalah is called Atachonantanu. And the entire prayer of Atachonantanu, excuse me, is about the ability to differentiate between Kodesh and Chol. So we say, Vatavdel, Hashem Elokeinu, Ben Kodesh L'Chol, Ben Or L'Choshech, Ben Yisrael Amim, Ben Yom HaShvi, L'Sheish Yisimei HaMaseh. And then we ask God to imbue us with Das. Says the Levush, if the subject of Atachonantanu is spiritual knowledge, is something religious, something that enables us to differentiate between Kodesh and Chol, then how does it belong in this paragraph? It's completely out of whack. It's completely what we call a hefsek. It's an interruption. We're asking for scientific, mathematical knowledge, and in the middle we ask God to bestow us with the ability to differentiate between that which is holy and that which is secular. Says the Levush, apparently what we're asking for, 3 times a day, 6 days a week, in Atachon Elonim Das, is not just physical knowledge, meaning scientific knowledge. We're not just asking to be technological geniuses that we can pass all the entrance exams into MIT. We're asking for something more spiritual. The ability to differentiate between that which is holy and that which is secular. And that separates the Jewish nation from all the other nations of the world. What makes us the chosen people, the Am, school of a Goy Kadosh, is our ability for a different kind of das. I'm not going to tell you that everybody who graduates MIT is a Jew. I'm not going to tell you that every Harvard graduate is a Jew. And I'm not going to tell you that anyone who passes all the exams at Hebrew University is a Jew. The Goyim also have Chochmah. They also have wisdom. But their wisdom, and we share that with them, is scientific wisdom. So we have a number of Jews, Baruch Hashem, a very high percentage, relatively per capita, of Jews that won Nobel Prizes in various fields. But we're not claiming our superiorities because we have more Nobel Prizes than any other nation on the face of the earth. That's not our claim to fame. Our claim to fame is that we have a das, we have a knowledge that allows us and enables us to differentiate between Kodesh and Chol, Bein Or L'Choshech, and between holiness and that which is secular. And please, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we're rejecting that which is secular. That which is secular, which is chol, is very, very important. But we have to take that chol, and we have to convert it, transform it, and elevate it to kedusha. And that's what we're asking for from Hashem. So that the Levush claims that it's absolutely appropriate to integrate the Atachon Antanu prayer on Motzi Shabbos, after we finish with Shabbos, and ask God to give us that das, endow us with that ability to separate between Sheshis Yivei Amasa and the seventh day, which is Shabbos, between Kodesh and Chol, and that's appropriate for this bracha, which ends with Ata, Baruch Ata Hashem, Chonen Hadas. Okay then, now we're going to have to end here. But let me just give you an introduction, if I can, to the next bracha, which is very similar to the first bracha, but it ends with a different element, and that's tshuva. So it starts with Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sorasecha, which means we're asking God for Torah and Torah knowledge. And therefore you and I would say that that's very appropriate. It follows from Chonein Das, that we're asking for Das. And now, God, give us that Das to understand your Torah. But after that, it goes off on a tangent, onto a different pathway of Karveinu Malkeinu L'Avodasecha, bring us closer to serve you. And it seems now that the theme, the motif of this bracha is tshuva. So why do we start with Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sorasecha, which doesn't have anything to do at the face of it with tshuva? Just want to add as a postscript, we mentioned Baruch Kvod Hashem Komo, and the Yintfila here quotes a Torah's Kohanim at the beginning of Vayikra. And there's a pasuk be'ol moed that God calls out to Moshe Rabbeinu from Ol Moed. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Af chayos hakodesh hanosos es kisei hakovod einon roos es hakovod. Rabbi Kiva says that even the chayos hakodesh, these are the holy, highest angels up in the spheres, in the upper celestial spheres, that carry the throne of God, the glory of God in the kisei hakovod, they themselves cannot see and perceive God's kavod. And therefore, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mim Komo, because we, and even the Malachim on the highest level, the Chayis HaKodesh, cannot see. And then Rav Shimon, quoted in the Sifra, adds to Rabbi Akiva, and he says, Ki lo yirani ha'odam v'chai. And that's a posuk that expresses the idea that man cannot see God, he cannot perceive God. And says Rav Shimon, even the Malachim, that could live eternally, nevertheless they cannot see the covet of Hashem. So lo yirani ha'odom v'chai means not just Adam, but even chai, even the malachim. And he goes on to quote Rav Amram Gon, who says that v'ata kadosh l'fisha enom yodos makom kvodo, since they cannot know the place, the actual location where God's glory is. They are therefore onos v'yomros b'chol makom shekvodo, wherever God is, wherever His glory is, sham there baruch kvod Hashem imkom. And the ledar v'dar nagid go lecha, which is recited by the Chazan, has a certain nusach to it, which is birchas kedush Hashem for the shatz, that's borrowed from the birchas Kiddusha, which you'll find in the Siddur of Ram Amram Gon. You'll also find it similar text in the Machzor Vitri, attributed to a disciple of Rashi, in the Rambam, in his Siddur, and also in the Taimani Siddur, the Machzor Bnei Roma. All of this is a nusach of the Shliach Tzibur, and it goes L'dar v'dar nagid gon lech. However, amongst Sfaradim, there is a common custom to recite Ata Kadosh B'Shimcha Kadosh even for Yochid, even for the individual. Now, in terms of the proper grammatical conjugation of the word Shivcha Cha, there's a whole long discussion here in the commentaries about different possibilities here. And he even mentions the great Talmud of the Gaon, the Baal Nefesh HaChaim Rav Chaim Volozhin, who gives an approbation to the Sefer Maisa Rav, and he writes, V'omar Anish HaTzadik HaGrozal Tzadak B'Kriyoso, that apparently the Gra had a word V'Shivchacha, although it seems from one of the Kadmonim that the proper nusach would be Shvachacha, Ushvachacha. So as I said, there's a long discussion about that, which you'll see here in the Iyun Tefila. And in the case of Ata Kadosh Shimcha Kadosh, there are many different nuschos here as well. but there's a medrash that says when Yaakov Avinu reached Beis El and he encountered the gates of compassion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself said, HaKel HaKadosh. So Yaakov recognizes God with this description of Kadosh. And it also says in the Pasuk, V'kdishu es Kadosh Yaakov. And therefore, V'yata Kadosh Yoshev Tilos Yisrael. Yisrael is referring to Yisrael Saba, to Yaakov. Shehikir Yaakov, Yaakov recognized that HaLomas HaSagoso Yisbarach, the reason why we're not capable of actually comprehending and grasping God's essence or his being is because Ata Kadosh. And therefore, Nela Mitzad Atzmusecha, it is something essential about God that makes it impossible through God's element of Kedusha for us to perceive it. V'chein Shimcha, right? Ata Kadosh v'Shimcha Kadosh, Hainu Tchunas Pe'olecha HaMesiaches L'Shmecha. And even your actions, God, which are attributed or related to your name means your actions in this world, Gam Hu Kadosh. That's also the holiness, that's Nelam, V'Einon HaMekirim Pulasecha B'Shlebus. We can never really recognize the greatness and the totality, the completeness of your actions. Ukdoshim, after we say Ata Kadosh Shimcha Kadosh, Ukdoshim Ba'olam HaElyon, those who are holy in the higher worlds, the celestial worlds, Shegdolim Asagasam, they are great in their comprehension. Gam Heim, they too, Yahalucha Sela, Lomar Behilulam Baruch Atah Sheba Kela Kadosh, meaning Shata Kadosh V'Nelam Gam Mehem. So the bottom line here is that in this presentation, based on the Medrash, the concept of, or shall we say, the description of God as Kadosh is referring, is an allusion to his Nelam, the fact that he's beyond our comprehension. Like we said before, Lo Yira Adam Achai, and even the Malachim cannot really perceive of Yomai. So this is where we're going to stop, and in Birkas Hashem, we'll get into the second bracha of Hashiveinu Avinu Sarsecha next time.